Good evening to all of you. Glad to see you back. And it's almost amazing how fast time has gone, isn't it? And I trust that you've been blessed. When it comes to the Bible, I have met on many occasions people who do not believe the Bible to be true, and they think that some of the stories are kind of fairy tale stories. Like, for example, some people think that the story of Samson, a man who is strong and powerful, is just made up story. Nobody's that strong. Or Goliath, who was a big man in comparison to David. Nobody's that tall. At least that's what they assume. But let me just share something with you. I was a little boy, a ghetto boy there in Brooklyn, New York, one day playing with my buddies on the street, because that's the only place we had to play in. And all of a sudden, a truck drove up with something that looked like a truck out of the movies of the 30s. It had a house in the back. It had portal windows, you know, like a boat. And this old man stepped out of that truck, and he had long white hair, and we began to make fun of him, calling him Moses. He didn't like that. He jumped out of the truck and ran after us. We thought, silly old man, you can think he can catch up with us? Well, he wasn't a silly old man. He couldn't keep up with us. In fact, he just stopped short of catching us, turned back and said, boys, come on, I got to show you something. So we cautiously went over there, and he opened up the back of his truck and pulled out a spike, you know, telephone spike, the ones that they climb up on, and wrapped a handkerchief around it, put it in his mouth and bent it in half. And then he took the U-shape, put it in his mouth and bent it closed like a bobby pin. We thought this was a trick. We asked for it. He gave it to us. We threw it on the ground. Sure enough, bing, 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 bing. It was a spike. And the weight of it, you know, spike. Turned out his name was, real name was Joseph Greenstein, but his showbiz name was the Mighty Adam. The Mighty Adam, here he is, was a Jewish man who, though he doesn't show like he has much muscles, he's actually bending steel around his arms right now. Can you see that? And this man, with his teeth, could pull a car or a truck loaded with people. Here's a picture of it. And here's, with his hair, he's pulling that, looks like a old truck. Can you see that? And it's piled up with people inside. He's pulling it with his hair. He can actually take a nail with his bare hand and drive it through 2 inches of wood. This man, his son, presently is 93 or 94 years old. And recently I saw him on one of these shows, actually on YouTube, because I was looking for Mighty Adam. And there he was shown in one of these shows where they're trying to find new talent. I'm not sure what the show is called, but you know what I'm talking about. They try to find new talent, and they haven't. Well, this old 93-year-old man said that he could do something that nobody else could. And they said, what's that? I can pull a car with my teeth. They didn't believe it. So outside, he had one of those old 1960 model cars that weighed about 3,500 pounds. The ones that sat on I-beams, you remember those? And his girlfriend, his brother, and his brother's wife were in the car, and the rope tied to it, and he took the end of the rope, put it in his mouth, and did this, and began to walk backwards, pulling the car with his teeth. 93-year-old man. So, the question, is the story of the Bible false or true? It is true. There are people who have, especially a Jew of all things, because Samson was a Jew. Now, what about the idea of tall people? Goliath, big giant of a guy, and David fighting against him. Guess what? Look at this man. How many of you have seen this man before? Any of you? Some of you have. When you were kids, did you see him down here coming and doing a show down here? Gary, did you see him? Okay. This man, by the way, at the age of 21, was 8 feet 11 inches. He's standing next to his father, who is 5 feet 11 inches. How tall is his father? 5 feet, 11 inches. Gary, how tall are you? 5'7". So you're kind of a midget compared to this guy, right? Sitting next to his mom, look at the size of the shoe. You see that? And here's another picture, standing next to two ladies. Look at that. So, question. Is the Bible full of fairy tales or full of real stories? Real stories. Things that are actually true and that you can believe and count on it because God said so. But tonight we're going to study some extraordinary things in the scriptures, and we need to ask God to guide us. Let's pray. Father, as we study your holy word, we pray that your spirit will guide us and give us the understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times when we read through the scriptures, we pass over things that we don't seem to get much out of it, so we just read on, or sometimes we even skip it and jump to something else more interesting. One of those books is the book of Job. And in the book of Job, there's a lot of scientific detail, but the reason why people don't catch it is because they're not expecting the book to be scientific. But let me show you some interesting things from the book of Job. Here's another tall man, but we're going to skip that tall man and go to the open space in Orion. We're looking at the book of Job, chapter 38. If you have your Bibles, Job chapter 38, and we'll see some amazing things in the book of Job. Now, Job was complaining about how he was being having to go through all these trials and difficulties. And finally, God decided to ask Job a few questions. And God began to show him a vision of the stellar heavens. And as he was looking up, God began to ask Job a few questions. And here are the questions. Job 38, verse 31 to 32. Job 38, verse 31 and 32. Notice the questions. Can thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Masraf in the seasons, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Now, these are four interesting questions, but we're going to only address three of them tonight. Number one, can you bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? For a long time, people did not really know what these things were, especially during the Dark Ages. But what's interesting is that recently, different telescopes have been invented and created, and through them, the things that God has revealed in the Word have become quite amazing in today's knowledge. Let's first look at the last question. Can you guide Arcturus with his sons? Now, if you don't know anything about the heavens, you would think Arcturus is the name of some man, and his sons, of course, sons of Arcturus. But the name Arcturus is actually the name of a star, a huge star. Let's look at it. Here's a picture of Arcturus. Arcturus is a huge star that is traveling by itself throughout, and with his suns, throughout the solar system. It is not held to any orbit, such as our sun or our earth or our moon. This particular sun is traveling by itself through space. Now, what's amazing is that this sun, named Arcturus, let me see if I can get this thing to move. Here's another picture. You can see it going down toward the bottom. Presently, it's flying through our Milky Way. You see that? And it is traveling at 925,000 miles per hour. It's almost 1 million miles per hour. 925,000 miles per hour. All right? Because I have it in Spanish too, so those who read Spanish can see it. 925,000 millas por hora. 925,000 miles per hour. Now, the size of it. Our sun is 1,300,000 times bigger than our Earth. Our star that we're talking about, Arcturus, is 1,000 times bigger than our sun. So how big is that star? 1,000 times bigger than our sun, and our sun is 1,300,000 times bigger than the Earth. Let's look at some comparisons here. There's the sun with the arrow pointing to it. You see that? And there's Arcturus below it. Can you see that? So you have the sun and you have Arcturus. Now, why does God ask Job that question? Can you guide Arcturus with his sun? Job had a lot of questions of God. Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why this? Why that? Now God says to Job, Job, I got a question for you. Can you do what I'm doing? That's the answer, in essence, what the question is. Job, can you do what I do? Can you guide Arcturus with its sun? Now, the Milky Way has about 200 billion suns, just a few. How many? 200 billion suns, okay? You can see how densely populated that area is. Question, if Arcturus were to fly through this populated area, would it collide with something? What's the answer? The answer is no. Why not? Who's guiding it? God is. That's the question, see? The question is, can you guide Arcturus with his suns? Now, please understand this, that Job, the book of Job, was written about 3,400 years ago. How long? 3,400 years ago, which means then that Arcturus had been flying at 925,000 miles per hour through space, that humongous orb traveling at that tremendous amount of speed for over 3,000 years, and it still has not collided with anything. Why? God is guiding it. So God is asking Job, Job, you're concerned about what's happening to you. Look, Job, if I can guide Arcturus, certainly I can guide you. See, that's the question. Can you do it, Job? What's the answer? No. Can any of you do it? Absolutely not. We're talking about a tremendous orb, all right? Here's the direction of Arcturus presently. It is heading down to Spica, all right? Now, you must understand this, that when we're talking about space, and you're talking about 200 billion stars or suns out there, you're talking about an immense amount of space. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of miles. So you have this orb flying through space. Now, imagine if Arcturus were to collide with something. What a catastrophic explosion that would be in the universe, what do you say? Here's a telescope that can be visited called Mount Palomar. Any of you have been to Mount Palomar? It's in California. You can actually go up to the hill and see the telescope. This telescope has the ability to measure the head of a straight pin at 200 miles. You can actually measure the angle of the edge of the straight pin at 200 miles. A very, very precise and sensitive instrument. It was not until these telescopes were invented that the truth of Arcturus was discovered. So, all the time people are reading, can you guide Arcturus with the sun? I wonder who Arcturus was. They're thinking of some man. But now we understand it is a star. And it's the only star that's traveling at that speed across space, and it's been traveling for 3,400 years, and yet has not collided with anything. It's another telescope, the Hubble telescope. The Hubble telescope, by the way, it's amazing. They wanted to see, if they fix it at one spot, what they would discover out there. So they fixed it at one dark spot in the universe. The dark spot was the size of a dime. Size of a what? Dime. Now, here's some galaxies, okay? You can see the densely populated center of that galaxy. And if Arcturus were to fly through there, would it collide with anything? Now you're answering correctly. No. Why? God is guiding it. Here's some other galaxies. There are all sorts of things. Now, not too long ago, there was a meteorite flying toward Russia. And it was flying at 29,000 miles per hour. Now, that's pretty fast. It actually exploded before it hit the Russia. And the equivalent of the energy that it released was 500 kilotons of energy, or about 30 times the power of the bomb dropped in Hiroshima. It shattered windows, thousands of windows in Russia. And that was only a meteorite the size of a house. What if Arcturus were to come our way? Well, it wouldn't be an explosion. It would just be an absorption, right? Arcturus just gobble up this little pebble out here. All right. Now, there are several other beautiful galaxies. You can see the densely populated clusters. And yet, it is clear that God is guiding Arcturus. Now, how did the writer of Job know how to write such an intelligent question in a time when there were no telescopes of any size? How did he know? The master astronomer told him. Who? The master astronomer. Let's look at the second one. Can you bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? What's the Pleiades? Well, here's the answer. From the most ancient times, men have regarded the Pleiades, a brilliant star cluster in the constellation Taurus, the most beautiful and fascinating display in the sky. And now, I want you to notice, this is the Pleiades. They are actually 250 stars that are together. How many stars? 250 stars. Here they are, a more distant photo. But I don't know if you can tell the haze around it. Okay. What's amazing about this set of stars is that they actually are hung together or pulled together and travel together at the same speed, going in the same direction, going to the same destination, like a flock of birds flying together. And what God is asking Job is, Job, can you bind, can you keep those 250 stars together? What's the answer? No. Job, if I can keep those stars together, certainly I can keep your life together. So God is asking questions simply to cause us to think about the magnitude of what God is dealing with. Let's go to the next question. Can you lose the what? The bands of Orion. One is, can you keep those 250 stars together? And the answer is no. Next one is, can you lose the bands or the belt of Orion? Okay? Now, to understand that question, let's look at the constellation of Orion. Here's the constellation of Orion. And Orion was basically a story made up by the Greeks who believed in mythology. And story about Orion was that he was supposed to be a great hunter who could boast to kill anything until a little scorpion stung him in his heel and he died. So it's just a story, but the naming the constellations is helpful in locating where the stars are. So from that perspective, it's helpful. Now, how many of you have seen the constellation Orion? All right. Yeah, just to help you, here's three stars that are supposed to be the sword, and this is the band of Orion, okay, or the belt. Here's another picture of the supposed Orion, and again, you can see the three stars here, all right, and the actual belt. So, God is asking Orion, can you lose the bands of Orion? There's some interesting things about this constellation that we should consider. Let me just draw it for you out here so you can see what it actually looks like a height. How many of you remember making the old-fashioned kites that were like a triangle and, a diamond shape, and then it had a tail? You remember making those? I remember making those when I was a little kid in Puerto Rico. We used to call them charingas. I'm not sure why they would call that, but anyway, at least we could find newspaper. And then we had cornstarch, and we mixed that with water, and that would be the paste. And we would paste that around the string, and we get across, a branch across, and put the string on, glue the paper on, put a tail on, and we had our own height. Okay? So here's what it actually looks like up in the heavens. Now, I thought I was giving you the English, but it's in Spanish. I'll have to translate. All discoveries that humans make seem to be only to confirm the truths that are in the Bible. So all science discoveries that are coming about only come about to confirm the truths that are found in the scriptures. All right? And that was made, by the way, by a scientist who was an astronomer. Let's consider some of these stars. First of all, Regal. Regal is by the knee of Orion, and Regal is about 14,000 times brighter than our sun. Our sun is very bright. Regal is 14,000 times brighter. Then you have another star on the shoulder, and that star is called Betelgeuse, is the way it's pronounced. Most of you would probably pronounce it Beltegeuse because that's the way it looks. But the actual pronunciation is Betelgeuse. Now, just to help you to understand how big this star is, you can see here you have the size of the star. This is the size of the orbit of the Earth around the sun, and this is the size of Jupiter's orbit. All right, now if you don't know how big that is, then we need to give you some more examples. Here's the size of Pluto. Pluto's the smallest planet. And then we, of course, have Mercury's the next, Mars is the next, Venus is the next, and Earth looks pretty gigantic in comparison to Pluto, true? But here's our Earth in comparison to Jupiter. Now, Jupiter looks pretty gigantic in comparison to the Earth. Isn't that true? But there's more that comes. Here's our sun. And look at Jupiter. And what happened to our Earth? Our Earth is only but a spot. But there's more to come. Here's our sun. And guess what? There is Arcturus. But we're not talking about Arcturus right now. We're talking about the sun called Betelgeuse. So let's look at the comparison. Here's Betelgeuse. And there's Arcturus. And what happened to our sun? Disappeared. Okay? So what does that tell you about the size of space? All this tells us about how big God really is and how small we really are. You can understand why David was inspired to write the words, "What is man that God is mindful of him? And the son of man that he would consider." Think of it. Think of this gigantic orbs that are out there. Betelgeuse, which is bigger than Arcturus, which is bigger than our sun. So in comparison to all this, we are but an atom. Is that true? Comparison to it all. But listen, let's suppose that you and I lived on Betelgeuse, and we retain the same ratio of height. I imagine that Dr. Luke or Dr. Mark are probably about 6 feet four or three. Well, you're three, okay. So my guess was right the second time. Now, if he lived and maintained the same ratio on Betelgeuse that he has on there, how tall would he be? Well, let's look at it. Here's the size of Dr. Mark, and that's the size of what he would be in Betelgeuse. But let's put some measurements to it so you can understand what we're talking about. Number one, the length of his calf would be 9.5 miles long. His leg, 18.5 miles long. His index finger would be 11,000 feet. His forearm would be 8 miles. His chest would be 138,000 miles. And his height would be 37.5 miles tall. Oh, poor Dr. Mark is but a midget in comparison to what we're talking. It's amazing what he'll say. Can you understand what God is trying to reveal to us? Job was concerned about his life, the problems he was having. And in order to comfort Job, God revealed his ability to bring comfort to Job. That if God could take care of all these things that are out there floating in space, certainly he can take care of your life and my life. What do you say? There are times when we have difficulties, we wonder why. And we say, how come? The reality is that if we trust in God, he says all things work together for them that love him. Not that all things are good, but all things work together for good. Listen, something very interesting about Orion, more so than what we just mentioned. By the way, so that you know, presently, scientists recognize that something is happening to the belt. It is actually being loose, presently. Okay. Now, having said that, this is a picture of one of the stars in the middle. You see, for centuries, people thought that all these were stars. So, this is a star, 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 this is not a star at all. They have discovered that it is actually a hole in space. What? But even though it is a hole in space, it is brighter than the other stars, which has raised the questions, right? Now, that's what it looks like. And there's brilliance coming out from the center of it. Now, you can see how bright it is, colorful it is, how gorgeous it is. And they have called it the what? The open space. Now, what has all along appeared to be a bunch of nebulous matter in the sword of Orion, it turns out to be a large cavern that is open, that has a distance that is far beyond. Dr. Lucian, who is a scientist, Christian scientist, says, it is like looking into a door and into the back of a cave. The depth is brilliant with nebulous matter. The opening is the most beautiful object visible to the human sight. It has pillars, columns, facades, bulwarks, stalactites, stalagmites. The depth is just marvelous. Then it says, this opening is about 51 trillion miles wide. And it says Sirius and Centauri together can find ample space to go in through this open space, torn masses of brilliant material and gashes, adorning with myriads of brilliant points. What can form this, it says? It says, if it is the result of a cold light like the firefly, the understanding of it is far beyond science. If it is a result of stars, then this is the brilliancy that comes out, or the brightness that comes out, would be then produced by millions of white hot suns. So they don't understand what's making this brilliant light from the depth of Orion. It's either a cold light or a hot light. In whichever way they go, there's no answer for it. Now, what's amazing about this is I've been to many, many caves. I used to be the pastor in Carlsbad Caverns. Have you been to Carlsbad? I used to be the pastor down there. And we've been to Rotorua in New Zealand. We've been to many caves in Poland, the salt mines in Poland, etc. Isn't that marvelous? But nothing compares to Orion, the open space in Orion. Orion is about 1,350 light years away. Now, I'm not going to bore you with how far that is. I'll just put it out here. Okay? In other words, one light year is the speed that light travels in a year. And the distance that light travels in a year. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. And if it goes for 60 minutes, if it goes for an hour, if it goes for a day, if it goes for 365 days, that's how far it travels. So when we're talking about space, we're talking about distances that are far beyond comprehension. And even though it is 1,300-something light years away, yet we can, with the naked eye, look up and see it. Which is interesting. There are people who say, how can you see a man coming from space, speaking about Christ? Because the Bible says, and every eye shall see him. And Christ might have been about maybe the tall height of these two doctors. Or maybe as tall as Robert. I don't know. But the interesting thing is that can you see a man that high, that size, from a far distance away? What's the answer? The answer is yes. See, I'm dealing with science. And when you deal with science, how many of you remember Sputnik? Any of you remember Sputnik? For those of you who are kids, you don't know what Sputnik is. Sputnik was the first satellite sent up into space by man. It was sent up by Russia. Okay? Called Sputnik. Now, how big was Sputnik? Do you know? Sputnik was the size of a basketball. What? Size of a basketball. Okay? How many of you ever saw Sputnik? You saw Sputnik. You did too. How far do you think Sputnik was up there? Huh? You think it was 2 miles up? You think it was 3 miles up? You have to go over 300 miles in order to get out into an orbit. Okay? How far? So, you were seeing a basketball over 300 miles away. Question. How can you see something that small at that distance? Brilliancy. What did I say? Brilliancy. How many of you are Vietnam veterans? Any of you? Okay, one of the things they taught you is don't smoke at night. Is that true, Gary? Why? Because even though it's a small little light, the enemy could see that light for a great distance. So the brighter something is, the easier it is to see. When the Sputnik was actually made to out of stainless steel, it was so shiny simply because it reflected the light of the sun. And by reflecting the light of the sun, it could be seen hundreds of miles away. Okay? You got that? So, how big is Jesus in comparison to the Sputnik? Much bigger. So if you can see a satellite the size of a basketball, can you see a man 6 feet tall? How? Because he will come with his glory, the glory of his Father, and the glory of all the angels. Is that going to be bright? Amen. Will ever your eyes see him? Absolutely. And just to let you know, the Bible says that Jesus will come from which part? East, west, and north, south. He shall come from the east. All of all constellations, Orion can be seen by all people around the globe. It rises from the east. If you go down to Australia, you cannot see the North Star. If you're up here, you cannot see the Southern Cross. But it doesn't matter where you are on the planet, you can see Orion. You hear what I said? So if you can see Orion any place on the planet, then every eye indeed can see him. What do you say? So scientifically speaking, there's no question that what the Bible is saying is true. Listen. In 1848, December 16, a lady that I talked to you about named Mrs. White had a vision. And it says, the Lord showed me in a vision the movements of the powers of the heavens. Dark, dense clouds would stretch across and collide into each other. The atmosphere separated. And then we could hear and see, she says, up through the open space in Orion, from which the voice of God was heard. The holy city will descend out of that open space. Question. How did Mrs. White in 1848 know that there was an open space in space? How does she know? There were no telescope of any significant size. How did she know? You look up into the sky, you won't be able to see with the naked eye. In open space, it looks like three stars. Then she says that the voice of heaven was heard from that place, and she says that the holy city will descend out of that open space. Is it possible that tonight we have been revealed where the heavens of heaven is located? Is that possible? According to the Bible, in John 14, it says, let not your heart, repeat it after me, even though you can't read the Spanish. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a glorious promise. What do you say? Well, according to his promise then, soon Jesus will descend. He will come. He did say he will come, and by God's grace, he will come. Now, Can you imagine all the celestial beings from heaven accompanying Christ descend out of that open space? Millions and millions of angels swooping down to accomplish the greatest rescue mission undertaken on planet Earth. Jesus and the army of heaven is coming to get you. What do you say? And when Jesus comes, it says that he will come with the brightness, the glory of his Father, of the angels, his own glory. What a bright day that will be. Then, can you imagine what will take place? The Bible says that as Jesus nears the earth, that there will be a trumpet sounding and the voice of the archangel calling out to all those who have slept in the grave to wake up. Jesus says that your dead bodies will rise along with my dead body. In other words, there is the certainty of the resurrection. What do you say? And it says then that the angels will come down and pick up the saints and then lift them up to meet the Lord in the air. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Imagine what a day that will be. What do you say? All those graves will be opened up. And then the saying, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? Praise God that at last, long last, immortality will become reality. And then the greatest procession ever in Earth's history will take place. All of those who have loved the Lord will take that flight to heaven that Jesus had promised. And then the most exciting sightseeing tour ever experienced by any human will take place when Jesus will take all of his children in that great procession and fly through heaven as the children of God are lifted up higher and higher and higher and still higher. Planet Earth will become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until finally it disappears from sight. And Jesus will begin to point out all the marvelous things of his creation. Can you imagine trying to hold your breath while all this is taking place? What an exciting tour that will be. What do you say? Jesus pointing to all the tremendous, beautiful, gorgeous things that he has put into space. Spiral galaxy. Look at that gorgeous spiral. And so, one after one, look at that. I suppose everybody will be silent. Only thing would be said was, ooh, ah. Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What an exciting trip that will be. And finally, according to the scriptures, we will reach that open space in Orion. And then all of the saints will fly in through that open space. And I don't know how long it'll take on the trip to that open space. But as we enter in, and finally up ahead, it will be the Holy Spirit. And as God's children reach that place, the angels that are with Christ will say, lift up your heads, all your gates. Even lift them up, your everlasting door. And the King of glory shall come in. And the angels inside will say, who is this glory? Not because they don't know who he is, but because they want to hear over and over and over. The response is, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord, he is the King of glory. And then they say it again, and then the same repetition. And finally, Jesus opens up the gate. And he places on each conqueror a crown. And then, friends, the moment of moment will arrive. They're all of God's people who stand four square around the throne of God. And imagine for the first time hearing the voice of the Father saying, "Welcome, children." What a day that will be. What do you say? What a glorious day. But he wants you to be there. Here he has revealed all these things to entice you, to encourage you, to want to be there. And heaven will be saddened if any one of us will be missed. Would you purpose in your heart tonight, by the grace of God, say, "Lord, I want to be there. I want to be among those who hears that voice that loud. Say, welcome. I want to be able to cast my crown at the feet of Jesus and praise him for allowing me to make it in. God is waiting. Anxious, and the day will come soon. Do you want to be there? You really in your heart want to be there? Would you stand to that? Would you say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be among all the ransom, all the strength." And will you say, by God's grace, "Lord, give me the power and the strength to put aside any sin that will hold me back." God will deliver us, not just from this earth, but from our own weakness. Make us, let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, how much we are grateful for all that you revealed through your holy word. And to think that you have revealed in the scriptures a place from which all the angelic hosts will descend down to this earth. Lord, help us as we look up in the nighttime tomorrow to be reminded of the promise of Jesus. And then granted that when he comes, as we're standing here tonight, so we will stand in that glorious day to be lifted up from this sin-filled world and taken to that place called heaven. Lord, while we remain for a moment, we want to lift up to you those poor people, victims, who have suffered loss of life down in San Bernardino. We know, Lord, that this world is getting worse. And we pray that you will help us to hasten, that all of these evils can finally come to an end. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.